Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast, where each week, Pastor Jeff Cranston explores biblical theology that provides practical life applications in an understandable way. Thanks for joining us at the table. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Kitchen Table Theology. I'm your host, Tiffany Coker. Along with my dad, Pastor Jeff Cranston, we're seeking not only to help you know deep, solid biblical theology, but to know the Word of God and the promises of God that are given to us in His Word, all while holding to solid theological truths in your heart, soul, and mind. We are currently working our way through the Bible Overview series. So beginning back in the spring, way back episode number 143, we have discussed and studied, I think today might be the 25th book of the Bible, might be at 24 or 25, but we are working our way through the Old and the New Testament books and diving into their theological themes. So if you've missed any, we encourage you, go back, give those a listen. But today, we're going to be in the Old Testament examining the book of 1 Chronicles.
Well, hello again, Kitchen Table Theologians, and I didn't know it was 24, 25. That seems good. Until we realize there's 66.
We are more than a third of the way through.
Yeah, there's been a lot, but it's been enjoyable, and hopefully you're learning a few things along the way. And Kitchen Table Theologian, we're just happy that you joined us today, and we're going to look into the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles on this episode. But before we jump in, and with the Christmas season upon us, when we're recording it now, I don't know when you're listening to it, but we're heading into Christmas very quickly. I'd like to just share with you one of my favorite books. And it's a Christmas book. And not only is it one of my favorite books, it's written by my favorite author, a man named F.W. Borum. Now, Tiff well knows if I get started on Borum, this podcast will quickly go off the rails because I could talk about him all day. But out of the 48 books, give or take a book or two that he authored, the one in particular I'm referring to is entitled My Christmas Book. Pretty simple title for a book themed around Christmas, My Christmas Book. It's a short book. It contains 12 short essays, and each one's about 5 or 6 pages each, and all themed around Christmas. And I read it this time every year, and I would not only like you to be aware of it, I'd like to share with you how you could purchase one. If you go on Amazon and type in My Christmas Book and his last name, B-O-R-E-H-A-M, Borham, but it's pronounced Borum. They're $6.99 a book. I mean, you can't beat it. And it's, if you're a Kindle reader, it's only $2.99 on Kindle. Now, in full disclosure, I am part of a team of 3 people who comprise John Broadbank's Publishing. And we publish a number of Borum titles. This is one of them. But none of us receive anything financially from the book, so I have no nefarious pecuniary interest in whether or not you purchase the book, but you should. And if you're looking for, you know, a good little stocking stuffer or just a neat little gift to share, I highly recommend My Christmas Book by F.W. Borum. And we will place the Amazon link where you can purchase this online in our episode notes.
Well, that's exciting. So Kitchen Table Theologian, will link that for you. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything like that, you can just scroll down just a little bit. Right below that play button is where all of the episode notes live. They also are all on jeffcranston.com. You can click on each episode title and it will send you right to the episode notes. So we will put that link in there. Buy one for yourself. Buy a few to give away this Christmas season. But let's get into our book of 1 Chronicles today. So beginning, like we do with most of these Bible Overview podcasts, let's start with the author. What do we know about who wrote this book?
Well, Bible scholars have long referred to this book's author as the chronicler. The chronicler. It sounds so mysterious. It sounds like some figure on a 1940s detective mystery program on the radio. So who is the chronicler? The truth is, we are unsure. According to Jewish tradition, Ezra may have been the author of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which, like you'll remember, Kitchen Table Theologian, like the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings, they started out as one combined single work. There isn't a single hint in all of 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, however, that points us to a specific author. Now, we do know that the author relied heavily on a range of source materials, including what our author or the chronicler called, as you read through, you see him referring to books, you see him referring to records and annals. And they're mentioned and they're assumed to be trustworthy historical documents. And that comes up multiple instances throughout the book. Dr. Eugene Merrill, in his commentary on 1 Chronicles, says this: whoever wrote this was a careful historian who used both official and unofficial sources with great care.
I think pretty recently here on the podcast, we've talked about 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And you've taught us that in both of those cases, that was originally one book of Samuel, one book of Kings. And so now you're telling us it's actually originally only one book of Chronicles. We just split it into 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we've seen this chronological procession of Israel's history as it continues to advance towards, to march towards the first advent of Jesus. So maybe fill us in a little bit. Now that we've made it to 1 Chronicles, where are we on this chronological timeline of Israel's history?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think it's really important for us to understand that. The time frame covered in 1 Chronicles mirrors parts of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings. The chronicler focused on David's reign in 1 Chronicles, including and omitting different events recorded in other biblical history, so that his document recorded those events significant to his purpose for writing. For instance, 1 Chronicles does not include David's adultery with Bathsheba, which was in 2 Samuel 11, which was a well-known fact even before the chronicler began his work. So I guess he thought, well, this doesn't bear repeating. It's already been written down and everybody knows about it. As far as the date of the writing goes, most believe it was likely written between 450 and 425 BC. And you can see we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Christ. Chronicles was most likely written during the time of Ezra or Nehemiah. So that's why Jewish history says Ezra is the author. While the Jews were dispersed throughout Persia, they had been scattered. We've talked about that. Now, Persia is present-day Iran. Some Jews had returned to Israel, but most all of them were scattered all over the place. And archaeological evidence supports this idea. A Bible scholar, an author, an educator by the name of Dr. Larry Richards in his book, and it's a good book, by the way, and we'll link it for you, The Bible Reader's Companion. He writes this: fragments of an actual manuscript of Chronicles found at Qumran makes a date in the Persian period, which was 538 to 333 BC, almost certain. Now, his reference to Qumran is in regard to the Dead Sea Scrolls. So among the scrolls was found, as Dr. Richards noted, a significant fragment of the Book of Chronicles.
I think I can speak for a lot of us and say that we find the Dead Sea Scrolls fascinating. I'm guessing maybe many of our Kitchen Table Theologian family, you guys might be aware of the discovery. And I know I'm aware of the discovery, but I don't know much beyond that. I'm definitely not really aware of the significance of all of that. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask a question. Can we do a podcast on the Dead Sea Scrolls? Dad, what do you think about that? I'm sure there's so much we could all learn from that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So let's do that. The Dead Sea Scrolls moved. We moved from our earliest manuscripts that we had. Once the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, in some cases, it took us back another 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And what we found was there was no variation in what was written over those 1,000 years. What we had and what we have today, we have it with great certitude and certainty. So I think it's a great idea. Let's do it. And maybe we'll do a bonus podcast on that soon.
All right, Kitchen Table Theologian, you heard him. We're going to hold him to it. We've got a special bonus podcast in our future somewhere. But let's get back to First Chronicles and dive into that. We've discussed his authorship. We discussed the timeline, where we are in Israel's history. Let's get some understanding on why this book is important. You just said that parts of the book mirror other Old Testament books. It was sort of along that same timeline. So why do you think it was necessary for this book to be contained in the Old Testament for us?
Well, let me answer that by asking you a question, Tiff. What do you know of our family genealogy, either on the Cranston side or the Bowman side of your mom? How far back can you go naming your direct ancestors?
Well, I will be fully embarrassed here because you are so into genealogy and you have taught us so well. And I know you have decades going back of information and you have told us all the names. And I could maybe go great-grandparents. So that's not great of me, but I know you have it if I ever need it.
I will make sure you're up to speed on at least your great-grandparents, but not on the podcast. Well, and I think you're no different than most people are. I only ask you about that because as we read the book of First Chronicles, we very quickly note there's extensive real estate in the book devoted to genealogies. There are family lists, and they're very common in Chronicles. And so researchers and scholars claim there are numerous uses for genealogies. I mean, why were they included? Well, they were included, and quite frankly, when you're reading through the book, this is where you know, it's very easy to get bogged down. But they're there for a number of reasons, including, number one, to prove that a person or family is rightfully entitled to a specific position or title in Israel. Secondly, those family lists uphold the integrity of the chosen people, and especially their priesthood. Thirdly, to confirm that God's people will continue even after being driven from the promised land. So they kept really good records on this. So genealogy of family lines was very, very important to them for those reasons. Now, First Chronicles includes a list of priests and Levites and armies and temple officials and other leaders of various ministries, we could call them, in addition to family histories. And so that's significant, because the history of Israel is recounted from the viewpoint of the priests in Chronicles. So as you're reading through that, you're getting a priestly viewpoint. And the chronicler gave careful consideration to worshiping Yahweh correctly and abiding by his law. Just a couple of examples. You read about David's judgments in chapter 13 regarding the appropriate way to move the Ark of the Covenant. And there's detailed descriptions of its return to Jerusalem. That was hugely important. The chronicler even highlighted one of David's Psalms. In chapter 16, we have a Psalm of David. You say, well, I thought they were all in the book of Psalms. No, they aren't. There's one in First Chronicles. We read the story of how David purchased the threshing floor of Oman the Jebusite. Now, let's all say together, who cares about that? But okay, big deal. David purchased the threshing floor of Oman the Jebusite. Here's why it's a big deal. He then designated that, David did, as the future site of the temple. That's very important. And we all know David desired to build the temple, but because of sin and bloodshed in his past, God revealed to him that David's son Solomon would have the honor of building the temple. David wasn't going to be allowed to do it. So as we can see, there are some pretty significant events recounted to us that not only the genealogical lines and so forth, but there are events and things shared with us in First Chronicles that we don't read anywhere else.
All right. So we have those family genealogies, but also those events that occur in the book, which do, I agree, merit our attention. Keeping with the discussion of why do we need the books of First and Second Chronicles when we already have all of this history in Second Samuel and First and Second Kings, maybe give us a brief overview of the book itself. What is it all about? What is different in it from those other books in the same time period?
Well, I'll try to be as brief as possible, but it is a big book. But okay, so sleeves are rolled up and, you know, here we go.
Here
so
we go.
The volumes of Chronicles describe Israel's history in a way that's distinct from that of some of the other history books. And I think maybe a way to think about this or view it is just as the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each give a unique viewpoint on the life of Jesus, the history books of the Old Testament, of which 1st and 2nd Chronicles are two, they also bring unique viewpoints in. The monarchy of Israel and Judah are given in the books of 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings, and they're also sort of coupled with the sins and the transgressions of the people that led to their Babylonian captivity, their exile. However, the book of Chronicles, which were composed after the exile, these books focus on those elements of history that God wanted the returning Jews to meditate upon. So, namely, you're reading about the importance of the temple, the importance of the priesthood, the unconditional, unbreakable promises made to the house of David by God, the Davidic covenant, and the fact that if the people will obey, it will result in God's blessing. So you have a people returning to their homeland, and in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, God wants them to know, hey, here's the big rocks, guys. Don't forget about this. Understand mm-hmm. this. The ideas the chroniclers sought to convey are, I think, summed up in David's prayer, which is found in 1st Chronicles 29. And as you read through that prayer, you see David is worshiping and praising God. You read about thanksgiving for bestowing upon David and his family the position of national leadership. You read about sort of a hope or a wish that David's descendants would never waver in their devotion to God. And again, David brings this in, sustaining your faithfulness to God, being obedient to God will bring blessings. Now, it's important to understand that neither Israel nor Judah were ruled by David's descendants at the time this book was written. You know, so David's giving God praise for the fact that God has promised his familial line, his paternal line, leadership in Israel, and yet none of them are leaders in Israel when he writes it. So there's an element of faith in that. However, God had promised that a future ruler, and this is the Davidic covenant, a future ruler would come from the royal line of David, and the chronicler wished for the people to remember this. Following the 70-year banishment to Babylon that the Jewish people went through, and as they're reforming and they're returning, the religious leaders of Israel held great sway over Jewish politics and society and religion. So the goal of narrating Israel's history from a priestly and kingly perspective was ultimately to get the people ready and in the mindset for a coming Messiah.
That is really helpful. And I think that perspective of how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each give us a unique viewpoint on the life of Jesus, same with the historical books in the Old Testament, each has a little bit different perspective, a little bit something different for us to gain from that. I think I heard in what you were just talking about a few theological themes in there. Do you want to reiterate some of that for us before we wrap it up?
That's a good catch. I did throw them in there and they bear repeating, and I'll end with this. I think we can find a great deal of the theological theme of the book in David's prayer. And that's in chapter 29, verses 10 to 19. It's a bit lengthy to read here on the podcast, so we won't. But it points us again to praise to God, thanksgiving for bestowing upon David's family the covenant and promising them, you know, this positions of leadership, a hope that David's descendants would never waver in their devotion to God. And there's also the element that holding on to your faithfulness to God, trusting in his providential plan for your life will bring blessings. That was true for them. That's true for us. And those, I think, really are the key theological themes in the book. And those probably bring us to a good stopping point today.
End on a high note. We like that. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Don't forget, we've mentioned several books today, the first being My Christmas Book by F.W. Borum. We will put that and the two other reference books that Pastor Jeff mentioned in the episode notes for you today, so be sure to check that out. If you're enjoying the podcast, would you consider taking just a second, leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts? We really would appreciate your help in getting the word out to other people. Don't forget, you can find lots more at jeffcranston.com, and you can also email us anytime at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. As always, thanks are due to our friends at Low Country Community Church here in Bluffton, South Carolina, and our friends at Streamline Podcast for making this podcast possible. Next week, Lord willing, we will be back in the New Testament. And I think I'm going to do this off the top of my head. I feel like we will be in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Is that right? Do you remember? I think we did Colossians last time. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So next week, Lord willing, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians. Until then, always remember that the real power of theology is not only knowing it, but applying it. Thanks for joining us at the table.
You've been listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Join us next time for more insights into biblical truth. If you'd like to know more on today's topic, please check out our show notes. If you have a question from today's podcast, kindly email us at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you consider leaving a rating and review? We deeply appreciate your help in getting the word out. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app to continue this journey with us as we learn about and apply God's Word to our lives. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Kitchen Table Theology.